This is Reuben Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, by Rav Shalom Arush, The Guide to a Happy, Fulfilled Marriage. We're on page 150 in the Hebrew version, in the seventh chapter, headed The House of Prayer. Rav Arush has just told us, we read yesterday, a story about a man, a young Bachor, that came to him. This young Bachor had been becoming Baal Teshuvah, becoming more religious, started to keep a few mitzvahs, but mainly just Hidbodidut. He was very strong in Hidbodidut, and he was just, the rest of the mitzvahs he was still learning. Anyway, he came to Rav Arush, he said he decided to get married. He met a very nice girl that he was interested in marrying. They wanted to ask Rav Arush's opinion. The difficulty was that this woman that he met, she wasn't so interested in getting religious. It wasn't interesting to her at all, actually. But he was interested in marrying this woman. He felt very attached to her. He liked her a lot. Wanted to know the opinion of the Rav. Rav Arush told him, in my opinion, this woman's not the right woman for you. I don't advise that you marry her. Right? It's difficult enough to deal with the issues of marriage. And to give yourself the test of having a woman who's not interested in becoming religious when you're on the path to becoming religious. It's not something I suggest for you. So he said, thank you very much. He disagreed with the Rav, decided that he was going to marry this woman anyway. And that's what happened. He married the woman. Anyway, not long after, he comes to the Rav and he starts telling the Rav all of his problems that he's having. That things aren't going well at all in the marriage, and what should he do? Should he get divorced? Should he separate from the woman? What should he do? Rav Arush smiled at him and said, no, no, and no. Before you got married, you came to me, I advised you not to get married, but now you're married? Nope. So now you're married, this is your test in life, this is your nisayon, this is what Hashem wants from you. You need to work on yourself and make the best of it. So we're still in the end of that story. It's Chalti Ladrichoto. I began to instruct him on what to pray on. Ve'ech la'avod al hamidot shelo, and how to work on his own midot. Shelo laha'ir le'ishto shum hara, that he shouldn't criticize his wife at all. L'chabed ota, and to honor her. L'ahov ota, to love her, but on nekudot shel avodat midot b'emunah. And more points on working on his midot and emunah. V'chol hazman, his chizakti oto, zo ishtecha, and all the time I strengthened him by telling him, this is your wife. Nakuda, full stop. Im mishamayim hitchatanta, if from shamayim you got married with her, ze siman shezo ishtecha, it's a sign that she is your wife. Vaze hatikun shecha, and this is your tikkun. Ata tzarich lishtamesh bekoach hatikvina, and you need to use the power of prayer. Al manat liftor et habayot shalom bayit, in order to solve the problems of shalom bayit. Right? Whenever a person gets married, it's from Shamayim. That is what they want. This is the woman. If you stood under the chuppah, your soul has now been joined with her. This is the woman that Shamayim want you to marry. If it's the woman that Shamayim want you to marry, then they want you to deal with whatever problems arise as a result through working on your midot and through prayer. Oto bachor shekamor lo haya etzlan klal b'chol ma shenogei lebodedut. Now this chap, this man, who was not lazy at all in anything connected to hidbodedut, he was very into hidbodedut. Halach v'etchil lavod al atzmo. He went and he started to work on himself. B'tzura moreret hitpalut. Strongly, he was very strongly working on himself. Kol yom hu hitboded kama shaot. Every day he would do hidbodedut for several hours. He he prayed and he asked Hashem, Sheyizkeh oto ladat ulahavlig lishtok ulo la'ir. He prayed to Hashem that Hashem would help him to understand, to be quiet, not to accept the rebukes, not to criticize his wife, to make his wife happy, to honor her, and things like that. Ubemet be'gvod avodato nimretzet u'etzliach la'agia l'matzav shel shalom bayit u'rgiut yechasim. So in the end, through his prayers, he managed to achieve shalom bayit and a good relationship with his wife. Right? Even though it started off very difficult. Avruka kishana v'chetzi shel nisuin. Oh, we'll serve the story. So a year and a half passed from his marriage. B'nei hazivug hayu lahem b'shalom. Right? They lived together, the couple, peacefully. Erev echad higia abachor l'shur kehergelo. One evening, the man came to Rabbi Shishir, like he usually does. V'acharei shur, unigesh alai, after the shur, he came to me. V'apan im baya chadasha, this time, with a different problem. V'chenu mesapeli, and this is what he said to me. Kavod Rav. Baruch Hashem, yesh li shalom bayit. Thank God I now have shalom bayit. Zulkabar lo abaya etzli. That's now not my problem. Ein li shum koshi lehitmoded im ma sheishti oseh li. I have no problem in dealing with whatever my wife is doing to me. Ani pashut ro'eh rak et Hashem. I simply see Hashem. I don't see my wife, I see Hashem. Ani lo machzir la af pa'am ba'oto matbeya. I do not return to her. I do not give her back at all at any occasion in the same way that she's talking to me. I'd rather, on the contrary, and imitiv ita bli gvul. I'm nice to her without limits. Baruli shekol hayisurim mimena ze ma shemagia li. And it's clear to me that whatever suffering I have from her is what I deserve. It's what Hashem wants. Doesn't matter how much she complains and is never satisfied. I accept it with love. In short, I've got shalom bayit and everything is great. Okay, so what's his problem? Habaya yechida. So the one problem I have, he explains, sheyesh li ratzon gadol ma'od lechiyot chayei Torah. I have a very strong ratzon to live a life of Torah. A gur b'makom Torah, to live in a Torah community. U'l'ishti pashut ein shum kesher liyahadut. And my wife has simply no connection whatsoever to Judaism. She's not interested. Klum, not at all. Ani lo mela mila azeh. I don't say anything at all to her. Right? As he knows, it's not his job to rebuke his wife, to criticize her, to say that she's not doing anything correctly. So, for Hashem, he's abiding by the rules. He's not saying anything to his wife about it. But I'm asking you, Arav, but I want to know from you, maybe the fact that she's not at all interested in Torah and getting closer to Hashem, and I want to live in a Torah community, I want to live a life of Torah, maybe this is a reason that we should get divorced. I looked at this chap with surprise. Ra'iti shemayaz shehitchaten huasa kivat derech oka. I saw that since he got married, he'd come a long way. And now he was at a place that he wanted to live a life of Torah. That was something that before he got married would seem very far from him. Right? When he started to get married, he was a little bit on the path, but he wasn't so interested in living a life complete of Torah. But now he was. I also saw that he'd merited to achieve a high level of amunah, right? The fact that he accepted all the difficulties from his wife with love, and he didn't rebuke her, he didn't criticize her, he didn't say anything about the fact that she didn't want to keep Torah, right? So he saw that he'd already achieved quite a high level of amunah. Zebaro. To live with a wife that only complained and to accept all of that with love is not a small thing. His midot were clear from all of his actions. Everything about him suggested humility. He was an amazing guy, and it was simply wonderful to look at him. This was such a humble guy, right, that was doing amazingly well. So, how did the rabbi advise him? And then I understood what a wonderful lesson in Amunah Hashem was showing me here. Always I believe that everything Hashem does, he does for the best. But here it was very clear that truly everything was for the good. Why? Because here it was clear that this man had begun his married life in a very difficult situation. And it seemed that he'd really made the mistake of his life. He'd wrecked his life. When he came to Rav Shalom initially to ask if he should get married to this woman who wasn't interested in Torah mitzvahs, so Rav Arash advised him not to do it. It seemed like a very unwise move, but he did it nonetheless. And when he did it, the Rav said, "Well, now you've done it. You've got to live with it and work on it. You know, your job is to work and to pray and to deal with the Shalom Bayit issues that had now arisen." So he did that. He worked on it, and what became clear was that Hashem really did everything for the good. The fact that Hashem put him together with this such a difficult situation meant that he had to work on his midot, and that led him to becoming an outstanding individual that worked on his midot and that had amazing midot, an amazing emunah. Even though his wife was very difficult for him to live with, and even though his wife wasn't interested in keeping Torah mitzvah. So he writes, since the fact that he accepted the situation with emunah, and took the situation, his situation, as a job to do, as requiring work, Azai hitgalta haemet b'cholat smata. Then he revealed the truth with his whole being. Shematziut sheba haboe sameta adam hitamid latova. He revealed the fact that the situation that Hashem puts a person in is always for his good. Imikachet zelavoda. If he takes it seriously, he takes it as a job to do. Right? Hashem always puts us in the best situation for us. So even in this situation where Hashem put me into a marriage whereby it looks like this is completely wrong, right? That she's complaining all the time, she's not interested in Torah mitzvot, and here I am, I'm trying my best, I am interested in Torah mitzvot. What's Hashem done to me here? He's like, he's stuffed me up, he's ruined my whole life. But no, if I took it correctly, if I understood the message correctly, I took it as with emunah, that this is from Hashem, this is what Hashem wants me to work on, then actually as was proved by this incident, that Hashem mamash did everything for the best, because he took it seriously, because he began to work on himself, and that's what made him into who he was. It created, gave him the job to do, that he stood up to the test. Davka mitoch hatza'ah b'hitmotetut shel oto bachor, and specifically from the suffering and the working on himself of that individual, b'nisyon kasher kol kach, in a very difficult test. He had an awakening to pray from the bottom of his heart, and to pray long tefillot, to work on himself with all his koach, with all his strength. And he managed to achieve coming close to Hashem in an amazing way. That he wouldn't have merited any other way, right? Because he was put in such a difficult situation, so he really needed to pray, really needed to focus on asking Hashem for help, right? The more difficult the situation, the more we turn to Hashem. When the situation is not so hard, oh, I'm living with it, I don't even bother talking to Hashem. When the situation is a bit difficult, it's a bit problematic, so oh, Hashem, please help me out here. When I'm really, my back's against the wall, there's nothing left to do apart from scream to Hashem, right? When you're on the floor, there's only one way to look. So, right? There's nowhere else to go. So sometimes Hashem puts me on the floor, dafka. Why? Because he knows that I'm capable of dealing with that situation. Right? No one gets a test that Hashem doesn't know exactly. Hashem made you, created you, knows you inside and out. He knows you better than you know. You don't know yourself. We don't, like Rabbi was saying just earlier, we have no clue who we are. We have no clue what our true level is. We have no clue what we're capable of. Hashem does know. Hashem says, you know what? You're capable of much more. You have midot, you have characteristics and traits that are ready to come out. You can be huge, you can be strong, you can be powerful. In all the best midot, you can be so kind, you can be giving, you can change the world. You don't think you can, but that's because, fine, you don't know who you are. You have no clue who you are. Right? You grew up in a family where they ignored you, where you got no attention, you got no encouragement. You don't even know you exist. Right? But Hashem says, I know what you can do. Right? And I'm going to put you in a position where you're going to you do have a choice. We all have a choice. But where, if you choose the correct choice, you make the correct choice, then you're going to grow exceedingly well. But and each person is according to what Hashem knows is best for us. Some people, and like in this situation, some people are put in a very difficult situation. But the more difficult situation, right? There's no atheists in a foxhole, right? Everyone turns to Hashem when there's no other choice. But our job is to turn to Hashem at the beginning, and not to wait till we get to that situation that we only turn to Hashem when things have reached their critical point. That's also good. Better to turn to Hashem at that point than not turn at all. But there's no reason why we have to wait. We're fooling ourselves as long as we think we can achieve or do or rescue ourselves, or that we can rely on anyone else to rescue us. Kidding ourselves. We're just prolonging the agony. Right? As soon as we skip that part and just go straight to Hashem, we skip all the nonsense, all the struggling. What happens? Hashem says, Top, if you think you can rely on that person, so fine, I'm going to let you see what happens. So he lets us try and rely on that person, and that person's just, you know, man of straw. And we can't rely on them. We see what happens if people who rely on their parents for money, people who rely on the doctor for a cure, people, whatever it is, people rely on the lawyer to get you out of a mess. If you're actually relying on that person and you've forgotten Hashem is saying, fine, let's see what happens. And then you're going to really fall. why, because I want to show you ultimately that that's not where it's at. That's not, that this world is an illusion. And when we get that, so we've got the whole message. And here in marriage is the ultimate test case. And a person can choose to see Hashem, or he can choose not to see Hashem. And if he chooses not to see Hashem, then it's going to be very difficult and very hard. Because he's going to try everything in his power to get what he wants. Through flattery, through persuasion, through shouting, through threats, through intimidation, through being passively aggressive, through throwing a sulk, being in a mood, being upset. It usually gets my way out. I'm just going to sulk around for a bit and that will get my way. We have all sorts of different methods of trying to get what we want. And it's agony. It's a disaster. Right? When the truth is that we're learning that the only way is through Emunah. It's all from Hashem. That's what Hashem wants from us. Okay, and this is what he managed to achieve through that situation. Because if he would have married, this chap would have married a woman with Yirat Shamayim, like I thought to myself, right, when he met him originally, and he advised him, right, Ravash says candidly here, I thought to myself, it would have been much better if he would have married a woman with Yirat Shamayim. But no, Shamayim had different ideas, right, when Shamayim put into his head, marry her anyway. From Shamayim, right? Can't blame yourself after the event. After the event, everything is only from Hashem. So it's from Shamayim, that's what they wanted. So anyway, if he would have married a woman with Yirat Shamayim, Ulai hu haya oseh shah hibadadut bayom. Maybe he would have done an hour hibadadut today. Maybe. Aval b'li hachom va'omek, but without the heat and the omek shalat tefilot, without the power and the depth of his tefilot, Lahen hu zacha ayidei hakoshi hagadol, which he merited through having such great difficulties in his life with his wife. Shayalo imishto hanochachit with his wife. Hu betach lo haya zocheh ledargot haniflot alelu. He certainly would never have achieved the levels he reached. Shirak me'at avodei Hashem magim lahen. There are only a few, very few people who are of Dei Hashem, serving Hashem, reach that level, right? Through the main test of a man is at home. The main test of a man is at home. A person can be a Talmid Chacham, he can be in Shiva all day, he can pray beautifully, daven, be the best chazan in the world, he can go out and do chesed, own a soup kitchen, go feed the poor, do whatever you like. Main test it at home. That's where it really counts. It's the hardest test. If the person is that way inclined, then he opens a soup kitchen and that's what he likes to do. He's good at it. Fine, you're free. It's very nice. It's very commendable. He's not really working on all those midot. He's developing his midot of kindness. You're free. Very nice. It's only one, and he's one midah. He's got lots of others. And the main ones are all Adam la chavero, between a man and his fellow man, particularly between a man and his wife. That's where he's going to get tested, and that's his main, that's the main avodat Hashem. Even though it doesn't look like it, even though it looks to me that my main avodat Hashem is to be in the Beit HaMidrash learning Torah and learning another Tosfot and learning some more Rashi, that's not avodat Hashem. That's part of my avodat, it's learning Torah, but it's not it's not where I'm tested. I can sit with an art scroll all day long for 120 years drinking coffee and reading the very nice translation of Rabbi Art Scroll. It's very nice, but it's not, I'm not working, I'm not doing that. I haven't achieved anything in my life. I achieved reading a book. Very nice. Well done. They're going to pat you on the back for spending your time reading a book. You didn't spend your time on the street doing stuff you weren't meant to be doing. That's very good. So you didn't mess up. But you didn't actually work on yourself. Where's the work? The work is when I get pushed, when I have to work on my midot, when I'm in the spotlight. I've got nowhere else to turn. That's when I see if I have real abundance. That's when the Torah is not in the learning, it's in the practicing, it's in the doing. There's no point having Torah in theory. In theory, I'm a great person, I've just never been tested. Doesn't work. If you've never been tested, then you're not a great person. You can only be great after being tested. And that's why, in this particular case, this wife who was very difficult was the best thing for him. It was his testing ground, and it's what made him who he was. And in particular, at the beginning when he got married, he himself wasn't so close to Yirat Shamayim. Come on, like we said above. He wasn't even keeping Shabbat at that point. And almost he wasn't learning any Torah, etc. And except for the hitbodadut, lo yalo kimat shum kesher layadut, apart from doing hitbodadut, he really didn't have much connection to Judaism. Barosh eluleo tametziut kasher. It's clear that if his situation wasn't so hard, who ayam amshich liskol lalat, he would have continued to grow slowly. Gami yodei imhu lo haya nasog lacho. Maybe he would have even drifted backwards a little bit. Like we see with many people, they get married, and married life cools their desire for Avodat Hashem. Right? It's hard to get up for minyan in the morning when there's a nice warm bed. And there's breakfast on the table, and right? When I'm in Bachor, I'm by myself. Tov! Breakfast, I'm going to have to make myself, and it's not going to be very exciting. It's a bowl of cereal. The bed, tov, cold and lonely. So it's not so hard to get up from minyan. Now put a woman in there, tov. So it's much harder. Right? So many people find that when they get married, actually their Avodat Hashem goes way down. Right? Who wants to get to Mincha Maariv in the evening? Right, we're going out, we're doing stuff. Right, there's it's a lot harder to it's a much harder to work on Avodat Hashem when you're married. When you're free, when you're single and free, so to speak, I've got all the time in the world. I can learn Torah when I want. I can get up, do Hatzot if I want in the middle of the night. I can go to Rashbi and daven on the Kedah for 6 hours if I want. Right, no ties, no nothing. Can't do that for married. It's not going to happen. Right, even if I wanted to, it's probably not going to happen. The fact that I want to is going to be a big chiddush, that I actually want to do that. Right? Everything's great. And even worse, so to speak, if I have great shalom bayit. Who wants to leave the home? Great shalom bayit is like Gan Eden. Right? Who wants to leave? Right? Who wants to leave? Okay, we're like best friends. Everything's wonderful. What? I'm going to leave and go sit in the Beit Midrash and be bored by myself and people I don't know and they don't like me and whatever. No, I'll stay home and we're having great fun. Let's go out, go shopping, we'll do stuff. Very hard for Avodat Hashem.
You're saying it's almost like a blessing in disguise being in a tough situation.
So that's what he's saying here. It can be. If a person takes it correctly, right, with emunah, the tough situation is the best thing. Right? When a person looks back and sees that they grew through their difficulties. Right? If it didn't kill you, then you grew a lot. But if whatever our tough situation is, here it happens to be a tough situation in terms of a marriage, right? But any tough situation.
Like the Rebbe said that where he did tshuva was in the war, you know, it was a tough situation.
Right,
that's
took
what
him.
Got him to like wake up.
Uh-huh. Right. So, right, we, I can tell you for myself the last year or two, I've had some very tough situations since coming here. I'll tell you, into Chutzal Chesed, whole different level of tests. But I've grown. I know myself. I've grown in the last year or two. You know, in a way that could never have grown without those difficulties. Could never have happened. And I know who I was and where I was holding and. There's no reason to change. We look around, you see your friends, see your family. People who are not, especially who aren't close to Hashem, who are quite distant. They don't change. They can live 20, 30, 60, 70, 120 years. And they're the same person, Mamash. Their V dot exactly the same. Or worse. Right? Mm-hmm. They don't change. And if you look around and you see that that's the case, then that's the norm, right? There's no reason why I should be any different than the norm. Well, I'm going to work on myself and become a great person. Just stand from being, from living. No, it doesn't happen that way. You see the reverse. We see people go down. The normal case is that people don't work on themselves. They don't become better in V-dot. They usually become worse. They become more lazy. They become more selfish. More angry. Complain more. That's usual. So when we see that we are growing, we have to see why that is. And usually meaning 99.9%, and the other 0.1% we just haven't realized, is only because we had difficulties. And through those difficulties, we chose to see Hashem, we chose to stay strong. We chose the correct way, which is not to complain, not to blame others and blame ourselves, and, right? All of that. All the dimion, all the lies, all the nonsense. But to turn to Hashem for strength, to pray for good midot. That's how we changed. That's how we grew. That's how we changed who we were. And that's, right, and then and obviously the number one place where that occurs is the marriage.
Is it so, is it so necessary to have to go through this suffering? Is there no way of reaching a high level without the suffering? Or maybe it is necessary, you know?
So the Gemara says three things come through suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Doesn't say anything else comes through suffering, hence those three things. So let's take it to the on the simple level. Nothing else comes through suffering. But Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba do. So if it falls into one of those categories, then it has to unfortunately come through suffering. It depends what suffering is. Right? Well, a person can suffer in different ways. There is definitely a shita, an understanding, a hashkafa, that a person can suffer through their Torah learning and grow through that way. Right? So Rabbi Arish said about Rabbi Yeshua Kohen. He's huge Talmud Chacham. Shas backwards, forwards. We spoke to him today, it was amazing. Went to see Rav Yeshua today about a question that we had in the Gemara. He's learning, so I don't know what they're learning down there. I'm a bachelor, I don't know if they're still on that. They're learning down there. Anyway, they weren't learning on the set, they weren't learning on the set. We had a question that was very difficult. There was a Bach and a Tosfot, and Rashi didn't have anything to say about it. We just didn't know what to do. Right? We went and asked the Mashkiach, and Mashkiach said, go ask Rav Yeshua Kohen. Rav Yeshua tells us the answer. Yeah, the Bach. He knew exactly on the page where he went. He knew the argument between the Bach and the Tosfot. He didn't even need to look. It was there. He was like, yeah, this is what it... It was amazing. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, we merited that. But Rabbi Arish says about Rabbi Yeshua Kohen, that he merited Tikkun HaBrit, this, working on his Shmirat Tanayim, Shmirat, his thoughts, and being clean, and holy and pure, only through Torah. Meaning he never had to read this book and go through everything that everyone else who's normal has to go through if they want to work on Tikkun HaBrit.
That's like one in a million of those pieces.
No, it's very, very rare, but it shows that it's possible. Right? So there is, what does it mean? It means that if a person is working on himself, he can go through the suffering kilo that's brought on himself without having to get it from somewhere else. I can put myself in and pray and Hashem, right? And put myself through it, if you want to call that suffering, I don't want to call it suffering, but through the difficulty of doing that and working on myself and doing the tshuva, admitting to Hashem, confessing Hashem, I'm terrible, I messed up again, I'm doing this wrong, help me please, and hours of prayer. And then he's not going to get it from outside. Because he's already working on himself. He admits to himself. He sees the problem. And so that would count as the suffering. Because we need to feel... Part of the suffering is we need to feel the pain. We need to see how bad we really are. person doesn't work on themselves without motivation. Person thinks that they're okay and they're doing fine, then I can't change. Right? Because I can only change according to my level of ratsan. Everything works according to my level of ratsan. If I desire it, I have it, it's clear. Nachman says, what's ratsan? What's free will? If you want it, you do it, and if you don't, you don't. And it is that simple. So the level I want something is the level I'm going to achieve it. If my desire for something is very small, if my desire to learn Torah is very small, so I'm going to achieve very small things. I'm going to achieve art scroll, reading the English, not even flicking over to the Hebrew. I'm going to achieve something very small. That's why I'm holding, that's my desire, it's what I want. If my desire is strong, I'm going to turn on the power, I'm going to... Same is true with my midot. If I know that I get angry sometimes, and I don't like getting angry, it's not a good thing. My wife gets upset when I get angry, the kids don't like it. So I'm going to work on it a little bit. It's a bit of a, I see it's a bit of a problem. But the maximum I'm going to fix it is however much I desire to fix it. So if I think it's not such a big problem, it happens once in a while, it's not such a big deal. If I have that attitude, then my ability to work on it, my ability to fix it is very limited. I'm going to skim the top. I'm going to take away the really nasty stuff. All right, I'm not going to shout. Tov, that is really bad, shouting. But getting angry, Tov, I'm not worried, I'm worried about that. But the shouting bit, I'll work on and I'll stop. So I'll clear that bit off. But if I understand shouting, if I understand getting angry on a much deeper level, and I really see what damage I'm doing to myself and other people, how I'm destroying other people, how I'm destroying my kids, how I'm upsetting my wife, how I'm possessed by demons at that time that I'm angry, and I'm sick and I hate it and I hate myself, and I really don't want to be in it, then I'm going to clean it out completely. It's just going to go, it's going to go completely. Why? Because I've got such a ratson. But where's that ratson come from? The ratson only came because I saw how bad it is. So there's two ways I can see how bad it is. I can see how bad it is for myself. I can work on hitbodanut, trying to understand Hashem, show me really what's going on, show me how bad this is, give me the, and then I'm going to see it. Or I can wait till my wife walks out because she just had enough of me getting angry. Right? I'm going to get it from externally. And externally he's going to show me how bad I got, and then I'm going to break and I'm going to fall to pieces. And from that place of being on the floor falling to pieces from the situation, I'm going to scream to Hashem, and I see what happened, I never want to do it again, I don't want to be there again, help me, help me, help me. Right? And then I'm going to break it. It's only from the ratson. Hashem is just trying to give me ratson, because the ratson is the key to everything. It's what's going to take me to whatever place I'm going to reach. So the ratson is either internal or external. If I can generate that ratson internally, yofi, wonderful. I don't need the external prompting. But if I can't, then Hashem is being kind to me by giving me that external prompting. Because without it, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to stay the same person at top. It looks good down here that I get to stay the same person. Peace and quiet. And everything's relaxed. Fine. But I can sip Coke on the beach for 120 years and have a, in quotes, wonderful life, but I didn't do anything. I get to Olam Haba and I didn't move. It looked nice down here, I had no problems, I had money in the bank, I had good health, I had everything I needed. What was it? I didn't do nothing. Right? So what does Hashem do? Hashem says, no, let's move. Let's see what you can achieve. He knows what I can achieve. I think sitting on the beach and surfing is what I can achieve. That's because I don't know nothing. Right? And Hashem comes along and says, no, I'm going to take you out of there, pick you up by your... We haven't been impaled. Pick you up by your... Right? And I'm going to shove you in a situation where you're... What am I going to do here? I'm going to sink or swim. And he says, no, I know you can swim. Start kicking. And after a while, you go, oh, wow, I can swim. You knew. Who knew? Unless I've been thrown in the deep end, I have no idea I can swim. It's not pleasant. Right? What are you trying to do? Trying to kill me? No, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying to make you swim. Because I know you can do it. That Hashem, if we believe in ourselves and we believe in Hashem, then all the tests that we have in our life, we're going to know it's from Him. And it's going to help us.
Rabbi, I had a thought. I might be off, so just put me in check with the thought, but I think I got a little bit from one of Rabbi Shlomo Rosh's books. And I think it goes in the concept of like reward and punishment. You know, it's not that we're getting punished. You know, it's more along the lines of like we have a certain like amuna, I guess, the quota almost, so to speak. And as far as reward, it's not necessarily that we're being rewarded. It's more along the line that we're staying in line with what we're able to achieve, I guess, with our tikkun. Or that ourselves, I guess Hashem doesn't need to withhold those gifts that He wants to give. I don't know if that's in line with, but it's almost like the concept of like reward and punishment, you know?
Right. I mean, the truth is, there's no reward and punishment in this world.
Right.
In this world, there's no reward. If there is reward and punishment, there has to be. Free will necessitates that there is reward and punishment, but it's not in this world because this world is not the place for that. This world is the place for growth. When Hashem puts us here, his only main goal, his entire goal, is to get us from A to B, is to direct us on the best path. And reward and punishment has no meaning for that in this world. He's trying to get us to the best place we can get to. What does have meaning is to keep us on the path. So some things keep us on the path. Punishment, for sure, if you stray off the path, you get smacked to get back on the path. That's clearer. It's easier to see, in quotes, if it's punishment, why he's doing it. He's doing it not to punish Stan, right? But it's to keep us on that path. This same too with rewards. Sometimes you can see it like a carrot and a stick. So the carrot keeps us going, right? The carrot of marriage, the fact that we stay together is because it can be quite pleasant to be with your wife. So there's an obvious carrot there to carry on and try and do your best to keep her happy and keep her pleased. So that's a gilu, a carrot of some sort. But it's not true reward and punishment. True reward and punishment is only in the world to come. And there will be true reward and punishment in the world to come.
But is there no reward and punishment in this world? Like, for example, let's give you an example. Like, if you're a single guy, you know, you're not making as much money. But if once you're married, you're making more money. Like I'm saying it like
depends so if you count that as reward.
Right, so yeah, I'm counting that.
So I would say my understanding is that parnasa is not reward. Parnasa is not reward. In fact, we see that in most cases, not all, but in most, the vast majority of cases, parnasa is a punishment. A lot of parnasa is a punishment. Why? Because it keeps you away from Hashem. That's why it's a punishment. Mm. Right? If I've got a bank account, who needs Hashem? If I've got a problem, I buy my way out of the problem. I never turn to Hashem, I just turn to my bank account. And even the worst, because I've got money, I use it on all crazy stuff.
I was thinking about what you just said, like a month ago, or probably a little more, my washing machine broke. And it's 700 shekels. If I had money, I would have paid for it right away, no problem. But I didn't, so I had to go to the field and ask Hashem to help me. I ended up getting the money for it. But I was thinking that
because of that, and when you get to Shemayim, what's waiting for you? What's your reward? Your reward is that time when you're in the field. Right? That time when you were praying to Hashem because there's no one else to turn to. That is your Olam Haba. That's when you're flying, you're that movie, right? The fact that you wrote a check when you gave your card doesn't appear on it. If it does appear on Olam Haba, it's not in the good side. Right? So actually the in that it can be, and for sure, you know, we're not saying that we should live in poverty and there's no point to money. No, there is. If we use it properly, it can get me close to Hashem. I can use it to buy a nice kiddush set. Like, yeah, I can use it for good things to educate my kids. But most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, we're seeing the reward and punishment even wrong. Like, the things that are difficult, we're actually. Yeah, reward. Another fourth. The Gemara says this is another fourth. It's a word.
It's like different levels almost. It's like on one level it might be true, and then like on another level, you know.
There's a truth, and there's a truth within the truth.
Yeah.